Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, and of course it's the birth of Jesus, and it's verses 1 to 20, reading in the New International Version. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Okay, if you have your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 2, please keep them open. Let's pray to the Lord before we start. Father God, we pray that you would guide us through this morning's passage, that we would be reminded how amazing it is to know you, to be called sons and daughters of the living God. We pray that you would renew the joy of the hope we have in Christ Jesus, that this morning our hearts would be lifted as we hear this good news. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the story goes, there was once a man who was walking down the street. As he walked down the street, he came upon a sign, and the sign said, "Talking dog for sale." So out of curiosity, the man decided to go and see what this is all about. So he knocked on the door, and the bloke who owned the dog told him that it was around the back. And so this man, curiosity got the best of him. So he went around to see this amazing thing. He walked up, and all he saw was this mangy-looking black dog sitting in the backyard. And so he said, "Do you talk, dog?" "Yes," the dog replied. So the man said, "Well, what's your story then?" So the dog looks up at him and says, "Well, I discovered my gift when I was pretty young and I wanted to help the government. So I told the CIA about my gift. In no time, they had me going from country to country, sitting in important meetings because no one ever thought that a dog might be able to talk. I was one of their most valuable spies for over 8 years. Then after a while, the jetting around the world really tired me out and I decided that I had to slow down. So I signed up for a job at the airport to do some security work. And while I was there, I uncovered some incredible dealings and was awarded a whole batch of medals. After that, I had a wife, a mess of puppies, and now I'm retired." Well, the man was absolutely gobsmacked. He was amazed. He didn't know what to say. And so he hurried back to the front door of the house and asked the owner how much he wanted for this amazing dog. The owner simply replied, $10. What? Only $10 for such an amazing animal? Why on earth would it be so cheap? The man said. To which the owner replied, he's a big liar. He didn't do any of that stuff. It's a funny little story, but it reminds us that we can often have something amazing in our possession and not even realize it. I'm sure we're all aware that our news and media are full of all sorts of bad stories at the moment. I watched a clip, a newsreel, where some reporters were talking about the spread of the coronavirus in a particular country. And I started after a little while to feel sorry for these reporters, because in this particular country, the spread of coronavirus had started to slow down. And these poor reporters were left to try and make it into a story where things could suddenly get worse. They found themselves twisting the facts as much as they could to turn what could have been a good news story into a bad news story. And the reason they were doing this is because bad news sells newspapers, and it makes people watch the news. It feeds on our fears and plays on our emotions. But after a while, after hearing all of these bad news stories, one after the other, we can get to the point where it's all too much to handle. You know what we need this morning? You know what we need every morning? We need good news. We need to be freed from this constant barrage of bad news that's being thrown our way. Australian unemployment's on the rise. I'm sure you've all seen those huge Centrelink queues on the news this week. The stock market's all but crashed. For self-funded retirees, interest rates are extremely low. And while all this is happening, a silent pandemic slowly makes its way closer and closer to where we live. And in the midst of all of this bad news, we desperately need to hear some good news. And this morning we're going to hear some really, really great news. The good news that God entered his creation for us, that we no longer belong to this fallen and broken world, that our hope cannot be taken away by any of these bad news stories. What we really need is good news. Well, this morning we're going to be reminded of the possession that we have, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that was established when God the Father sent the Son. So in this morning's passage, in the first scene of this morning's passage, Joseph and Mary were traveling from Nazareth, which is in the north of Palestine, all the way down to Bethlehem, which is in the south. Now, if they travelled as the crow flies, this wasn't a huge trip. It'd only be around 19 kilometres between the two points. But the trouble is that right in the middle of these two places is Samaria. And the Jews hated the Samaritans, and they would never, ever travel through Samarian country if they could avoid it. So the usual method and the way that Mary and Joseph most likely travelled was to cross the Jordan River and go out and around and then cross it again and come back in to Bethlehem. This changed the trip from a distance of around 19 kilometres to a trip of around 144 kilometres. And we have to keep in mind, by this time, Mary was heavily pregnant and they weren't exactly travelling in a luxury limousine. And they were only travelling to this place in the first place so that the Caesar of the time could feel more important, so that he could know how many people he had charge over in his kingdom. And so from Mary and Joseph's point of view, this trip was certainly not good news. But as they made their way down all sorts of dusty, rocky terrain, and with Mary heavily pregnant, what they didn't know was that God was getting ready to reveal his good news. The good news that he pointed his people to long ago. Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 5 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." But for Joseph and Mary, everything still would have felt pretty bleak. Having made their way over through this perilous journey with a very pregnant wife, they finally arrived in Bethlehem to find that the place was jam-packed full of people there for the census. So they weren't able to get accommodation anywhere. And so this young couple were forced to spend the night in a stable. No doubt they were weary and tired from their journey as Mary gave birth to the Messiah, most likely utterly exhausted. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger. The good news had finally arrived. The Saviour had been born. God had just entered his creation in a way that no one saw coming. The good news was finally here. In scene 2, in this morning's passage, we're introduced to some shepherds who were doing what shepherds do, farmers. They were out in the paddock protecting their sheep, keeping them safe from wolves and foxes and any other kind of predators that might have been around, when all of a sudden, with absolutely no warning at all, an angel of the Lord appeared right in front of them. You can imagine their fear as this angel of the Lord began to speak. You can imagine they were terrified and that they probably expected this was going to be some really, really bad news. But instead, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And as the angel finished saying all of these things, the whole night sky filled with angels singing and praising God, glorifying God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests. Now, I'd imagine, given all of this commotion and bright lights, that by this stage, all of the sheep would have scattered. But it certainly seems that way. And so, but rather than worry about these particular sheep, rather than worry about the flock, the shepherds, all they could think about was what they'd heard from these angels. And so they started to make their way out of the field and to the stable. When they got there, they found it just as the angels had told them. They found Mary and Joseph and a little baby wrapped in cloth in the manger. And when they saw that it was just as the angel had told them, they thought this was amazing news. This was wonderful news, so good they had to tell everyone they found. They went away glorifying and praising God and glorifying God for all they had heard and seen. The Saviour had been born. God had brought his good news into his creation. Over the past few weeks, we've been bombarded with all sorts of bad news. There have been so many changes in such a short amount of time. It's hard to imagine that just last week we met out here on the grass. It feels like so long ago. And a week before that, there was no restrictions at all. It is an unsettling and uncertain time. We're not sure exactly what the future is going to bring. Only a few days ago, I was speaking with someone who was telling me that they refuse to watch the news anymore because of all of the negative reports, bad news story after bad news story. And they were saying that it's just taking a toll. They were starting to feel depressed about all of this bad news. And what we need in the midst of all of this chaos and confusion, in the midst of this uncertainty, is good news. We might fear the unknown, the unseen. We might fear the consequences of this virus. But before the creation of the world, God foresaw that this would happen. God knew that this would come. He knows all of our struggles. He knows all our fears. And he knows all the struggles that we will ever face. And he also knows that we need good news. Sometimes it's easy to forget that it was sin that brought death and disease into God's good and perfect creation. This isn't a part of God's good design. And it was because of sin that we were all once separated from our Creator. We were all once without hope, in a world without hope. But when God entered his creation, taking the form of man for our sake, when Jesus was born and wrapped in some cloth and laid in a feeding trough, God brought his good news into the world. It's really easy to get ourselves worked up and stressed about what could happen because of this virus. It's really easy for us to descend into fear when we think about the consequences that this could have on our economy, on our businesses, to our convenience, on our church family. It would be easy for us to get lost in all of the bad news, to lose our way, to lose sight of the good news. This morning, we've been reminded that this bad news isn't all there is. God has brought his good news into his creation. God has brought Jesus into his creation. The one who lived the perfectly sinless life that we could never live, who died the death that our sins made us guilty of, the penalty that we deserved, and who was raised on the third day so that we might have life in him. Jesus is the good news that we so desperately need. Through faith in him, we have received life, eternal life that cannot be taken away by any type of virus or disease. We have received hope that cannot be taken away, regardless of our finances, how well our businesses are doing. And we have received complete access to God through Christ Jesus, who is with the Father, always speaking to the Father on our behalf. This morning, if you're feeling anxious, if there's a sense of being unsettled, if you're grieving the loss of not being able to meet as a congregation together, or if you're afraid for what this virus, the effect of this virus might have on a loved one or a friend, keep reminding yourselves that God has brought good news into his creation. And this good news is so good that nothing in this life can take this good news away. It's able to stand up even in the face of this storm. Jesus has brought life where there was once only death and decay. Jesus has established family among a people who were once only interested in what was best for them. Jesus has brought hope that is greater than this life. So when we are worried, when we are tempted to fear and get caught up in all of the bad news that's flooding in on us at the moment, remind yourself that we have good news. We have God's good news in Jesus. And this good news is greater than anything we may face in this life. And because of Jesus, may we say with the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and its foam and foams and mountains quake with their surging. Isn't that a picture of how the last few weeks have felt? It has felt like the earth has been giving away. No matter how great the storm we face in this life is, we have good news that cannot be taken away, because Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, the Saviour of all those who trust in him, entered our world and brought life where there was once only death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we meet through technology this morning, as we are unable to meet in the way we would much prefer, as we hear bad news story after bad news story, Lord, we pray that you would draw our hearts near to you. We pray that you would remind us of the hope we have in Christ Jesus, that our joy for the hope we have in Christ Jesus would be so much greater than the fear we have, the fear of all of this bad news. Lord, we pray that you would ground our faith in the certain knowledge that you will not lose any from whom the Father has given you, that you will seal us with your Holy Spirit until the last days. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.